Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Odyssey's I'm Listening is our commitment to more mental health conversations. Dr. Christine Moutier of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention talks about the daily change of emotions and mental wellness.
Yeah, mental health and emotions are extremely dynamic, meaning they change. That's the most remarkable thing, to start to see crisis moments become less and less intense or less frequent.
Talk saves lives. For more mental health conversations, visit imlistening.org.
Oh, happy Friday! If you're a basketball lover, this is a dream weekend for you, because not only did we already see the stage set in both New York City and Las Vegas for what should be an incredible trimming of the field, a thinning of the ranks, if you will, down to our final four. And that's what happens by Sunday night. By the time we reconvene with you after the weekend, only four will remain. If New York City and Las Vegas were any indication, the games that we had last night, you don't want to miss anything the rest of the way. And we still have a 15 seed that will be dancing later on this evening in Princeton. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Such a great mix of teams that survived the four games on Thursday evening. And we'll get back to what was the only overtime affair, but so tight. It was a dynamic duel that was worthy of both heart palpitations and the hashtag March Madness. If you notice, if you use the hashtag on Twitter, the little bracket sign or little bracket moniker comes up. It's not moniker, a little bracket symbol comes up. It's pretty cool. And so I've been using it as much as possible. But this was a game that was worthy of the March Madness hashtag. So we're going to hear from both Jerome Tang, who takes over Kansas State this year after, I think it was 20-plus years as an assistant elsewhere, including Baylor. And then Tom Izzo, whose Spartans fall short of the Elite Eight after an emotional season full of adversity, of course. And they were trailing 96-93 in the final seconds. They had a shot to tie the game, but Marquise Noel, he ran the show on both ends of the court at MSG. So we'll get back to that game coming up. The late game, for those of you who are waking up early on either the Eastern Seaboard, the Eastern time zone, or in our Central time zone, you might have missed Gonzaga and UCLA. It did not go into overtime, but it was an epic game. And this is even by March Madness standards. We also have a first-timer in the Elite Eight in the Owls. Don't know, Jay. Stop playing owl sounds. Jay keeps playing owl sounds, and there's owls I've never heard of. If I didn't know these were owls because he told me this was an owl soundtrack, I would have no idea these were owls. They sound like chirping birds. One of them sounded like a animal of a different sort. I feel like I do a better owl than you do over there. Also, Jay's equipment is not working, so right now he's like making really nasty faces at the equipment. Okay, that sounds like a normal owl. No, that sounds like something off of Endor, the planet of Endor in Star Wars. Stop it. That does not sound like an owl.
That is a barn owl.
No, it's not.
Eurasian barn owl.
That sounds more like some type of a cat in the wild. That sounds like a child.
That's a little coyote-ish.
Oh, stop it. Can't we just have a normal owl? Can you just give me a normal owl? Oh, now see, that's beautiful.
It's a pretty standard
owl. Do you
have
any owls in your neighborhood?
Actually, I heard one outside my house about maybe a month ago. I didn't know they were out in the winter.
But, oh, yeah, they don't have any issues with the seasons. In fact, you are sometimes more apt to hear them in the wintertime just because it's a little quieter out there, right? So every now and then, I don't hear them all the time, but I would say two or three times a quarter, I'll hear an owl. And because we have some really just outrageously tall trees about three blocks from me, and they perch up in the highest trees, and you can hear the hooting. All right, that's a monkey. Stop it.
That was monkey-ish, yeah.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to the Florida Atlantic Owls for giving me a reason to use the owl emoji. I'll just say I had not used the owl emoji on my social media in any way, shape, or form before yesterday, but they are still dancing. Have you not seen the owl emoji? It's super cute. I'll retweet. Like the owl cares. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So a picture of Penny and a howl emoji. Jay, I just said a howl emoji. It was a combination of hoot and owl. A howl emoji.
A howler owl.
No, that's
right?
A monkey, a howler right. Monkey. Also, if you've missed any part of the show, don't go back and listen again because your host cannot speak tonight. It's one of those shows where the brain and the mouth are not in sync, and I have no excuse for myself other than I'm trying my hardest and talking is still hard sometimes.
Effort.
It's just good job, good effort, good job, good effort. No. So my mom said to me on Thursday afternoon that she'd had one of those days in class where nothing came out right. And I said, Mom, how many kids in your class? Oh, about 15. Oh, well, when you make a mistake, 15 people hear you. When I make a mistake, way more people than that hear me.
Totally fine.
It's totally fine. Stop it.
It really is.
No, it's not totally fine. It's not even remotely fine. Back to the owls, back to the howls, if you will. So we've got howls who have never been to the Elite Eight. In fact, Florida Atlantic has won its first three tournament games ever in the last week plus. And then we've got some blue bloods too. So we've got a lot to accomplish this hour. Like I say, if you miss anything, please don't go back and listen to the podcast. It's not worth your time. That's quite the promo, isn't it? It's quite the confident statement right there. Although you do miss then me making fun of Jay and the fact that his teeth are going to fall out before he's 40. But whatever, I do that on a pretty regular basis. Okay, let's talk about Gonzaga and UCLA taking place in Las Vegas. First time that T-Mobile Arena in Vegas has hosted the Sweet 16 games. And boy, did they get an awesome crowd there. Bill Murray, by the way, he was on hand because his son is a coach with UConn. Now, the Huskies make very quick work of Arkansas. There was a 14-0 run in the first half for the Huskies, and from that point on, they were in cruise control, and they were in complete control. The way that Arkansas plays, the Razorbacks want their opponents to scuffle. They want their opponents to kind of be put off by the physical, tenacious defense, certainly the power and the explosiveness of Arkansas, but they're not a finesse team. They want the game to be ugly. They want to take advantage of their defense to create more opportunities on offense. But the problem against UConn is that UConn got into a rhythm early and shot extremely well, 57% from the floor. They were moving the ball around. They were setting up teammates. So this is an incredible percentage, 22 assists on 31 made baskets. And if you watch the flow of how UConn was moving the ball, it was as though they were dictating. Anything they wanted to do, really, they could. And Arkansas was scrambling and really was chasing a lot of the time. So a lot of energy exerted on defense, and they never really found an offensive rhythm themselves. And so Dan Hurley's team is now into the Elite Eight, seeking a fifth national title for UConn. Now, not Dan Hurley. He was brought on to kind of resurrect a program that had fallen on hard times after the retirement of Jim Calhoun. First Elite Eight since 2014. That was the last time the Huskies won a title. But make no mistake, they are a team that has an incredible college basketball track record, both men's and women's. So according to Dan Hurley, they made a commitment a year ago. You may not remember, they were the 5 that lost to a 12 a year ago. So they were one of those classic 5-12 upsets. And right after that, Hurley got together the captains on this Husky squad, and they made a declaration that that loss would not be wasted.
Where we are right now is exactly where we talked about where we would be when we got together after we lost the first round game last year. We met in that boardroom, and the 3 of us sat together and we talked about this is where we were going to be. Wow. So we're exactly where we thought we would be. And obviously we're thrilled to play one more to go to the Final Four.
He really just told us, like, things are going to change now. And he had told us we're all captains and that we also like hold part of that on our shoulders too. We're going to take part of that blame when you feel that pain. So we really just, from that moment on, from that day on, we just all held each other to a higher standard and just told each other that, you know what I mean, we're going to push for a national championship. We're going to push for that type of standard every day in practice, and we're going to hold each other to that.
Andre Jackson Jr. validating what his coach said. Yeah, a year ago, this was exactly the message. We have a higher standard. There are more expectations, and we are going to use this as a springboard to get where we want to go. 7.7 assists for Andre. So yeah, they led by as many as 29 in this game. It was an overwhelming victory for the UConn Huskies, who are into the Elite Eight, and next will take on the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They survive UCLA, and not just survive, but this is what we've seen from Gonzaga all year long. They don't play well in the first half. We don't see the best of Mark Few's team in the first half. And other than Drew Timmy, there wasn't a whole lot working for Gonzaga in the first half against UCLA last night. They're actually trailing by 13 at the break. But here's one side I saw. As I noted it, the thought occurred to me, man, if they're this exhausted already, they're in trouble in the second half. Jaime Jaquez, the Pac-12 player of the year, he was already sucking wind in the first half. They still had 5-6 minutes to go, and he's already, I don't want to say he was loafing it because that's not fair, but he's already kind of taken some time to get up the court, and he's heaving. I mean, this is first half. You got a long way to go against a really good basketball team. So that was the first sign that I was able to pick out just watching the game, thinking, okay, they're down two starters. If they're already this worn out, it could be a long second half. Not to mention, Gonzaga is a second half team.
Smith driving left into the paint, spins right, floats it up with the right hand and scores. Malachi Smith with 9 in the second half, 11 in the game. Timmy's got it against Nuba. Timmy looking, spins to the baseline, lays it up, and in! 35 in the ball game for Timmy. 65-61, Gonzaga up 4. Smith makes the pass to Timmy, left baseline, dribbles right into the paint, out to Strother, his 3, got it! 10 in the game for Julian Strother, 68-62, Gonzaga. And UCLA will take time. The Bruins have gone more than 8 minutes without a field goal. They now trail by 6. Timmy up top, Malachi Smith 3, is good! Smith knocked it in! It's a 10-point Gonzaga lead, 2.5 remaining, 72-62, Gonzaga.
From down 13 at the half to up 10 in the late stages of the second half. But you know what's crazy? As much as you could point to the Gonzaga defense, there were wide open shots for the Bruins that they just missed. Again, they were dog tired. I actually don't mean that as a pun. They were bulldog tired. Their shots were coming up short. They were glancing off the front of the rim. They weren't getting over the top of the rim, which always speaks to the fact that your legs feel like lead and are really heavy and you're just not getting the same lift. So nearly 13 minutes without a field goal. And yet somehow this game is still hanging in the balance in the late stages. This is Ryan Radke from Las Vegas on the Westwood One NCAA radio network.
Tiger Campbell off to David Singleton, dribbles on the right, gets it up top, Jaquez, pump fake the 3, drives right, Jaquez on his way to the bucket, puts it up, in and one! Campbell dribbling right into the paint, gets it to Jaquez, puts it up with the right hand, in and one! Jaquez did it again! Foul is going to go against Timmy, it's his second, and Jaquez can make it a 3-point game with 45 seconds left! Campbell into the front court. Drop it off for Jaquez. Jaquez drives right down the lane. Puts it up off the window and scores. 29 for Jaquez. 75-73 Gonzaga. 33.7 to go. Tiger Campbell driving left into the paint. Gets it to Bailey. Left wing 3 for the lead. It's good! Bailey! 12.2 to go. Timeout UCLA. Amari Bailey, the freshman, steps up and knocks down a big-time 3. UCLA leads by 1, 76-75, 12.2 to go. The Bruins have risen from the dead.
Definitely were on life support. They're down 10, and yet within the final 90 seconds, they make such a push, a pair of three-point plays for Jaime Jaquez. They also get a couple of free throws in there from David Singleton. Drew Timmy misses two free throws, and ultimately what happens is they set up a play that, if you know your college basketball, you remember the Villanova buzzer beater against North Carolina. I was there in person in Houston in 2017. They drew up the same exact play that Chris Jenkins used, or that benefited Chris Jenkins when he hit the buzzer beater for the national championship. That is the moment that Amari Bailey, on the assist from Tiger Campbell, gives UCLA the lead with 13 seconds to go. Oh, Jay shooting me text messages. I was a couple of minutes behind just because I often stop and rewind or stop for, you know, just because I want to take a note or two. And so I'm a little bit behind, and he sends me this, well, it was a lot of like characters and there might've been a word in there that I can't repeat on the radio. I'm like, no, don't tell me. I haven't gotten there yet. I don't know what happened.
As someone who often watches games on DVR, I hate that, so I apologize. I didn't know.
No, you didn't give anything away. And when I saw the Amari Bailey three that put the Bruins in front, I thought, okay, that's what he's talking about. But there was still some time left on the clock.
Strother will get it in. Salas picks it up. Clock starts. 11 seconds. Salas across the timeline. Pitch it back. Strother. Deep three from the top of the key. Got it! Oh, he hit it! Strother from the top. 7 seconds left. Campbell on the run. Into the front court. Drives the right side. Stripped away. Strother's got it. Fouled with 1.1 to go. The Vegas native pulls up from deep and puts Gonzaga in the lead and then gets a steal at the other end. Strother walking, staring into the crowd. What a shot by Strother, who has had a tough night with his heels in the March Madness logo. Drills a three, and with 1.1 to go, he can ice it. Gonzaga leads 78-76.
The play was, you know, a little dribble handoff action, see if we could, you know, get a defense on their heels a bit. And initially when Coach drew it, he kind of drew just search it a little bit, maybe go downhill. And I kind of just asked him, like, can I shoot it? Like, if if no one steps up on me, like, do you want me to shoot it? And he was like, absolutely. So then I shot it.
You want to hear a super cool parallel between these two frenetic finishes? So we have Gonzaga, who is not only up 10 in the second half, but sees that entirely disappear, then actually falls behind UCLA. And it's a Vegas native in Las Vegas who hits the big three on one end and then gets the steal on the other end to make sure that UCLA doesn't have a quality opportunity to flip the script, right? That's what happens in Vegas with a hometown guy. In New York, it's a Harlem native for Kansas State, against Michigan State, that has the defense on one end with his team up by three. He slaps the ball away. He has a steal to convert a layup at the other end. So in both these cases, with the games hanging in the balance and seconds left on the clock, you've got local basketball players who are getting the chance to play in their hometowns, likely family and friends around, but they're the ones that come up with not just the big offensive moment, but the big defensive moment. How cool is that? Amazing that sports will give us these storylines, these moments. Obviously, the theme for March Madness is one shining moment, but there's far more than one. So yes, Julian Strother, and I was talking about Marquise Noel of Kansas State, rising to the occasion. We'll hear from Mark Few. His team is now a step away from the Final Four, but will have to go through UConn to get there. And then Drew Timmy, 36 points and a huge part of the rally there in the second half. Plus, we'll get back to that K-State, Michigan State reaction as well. By the way, if you missed my conversation with Arash Markazi, he joined us from Vegas earlier on the show. So he was live with us in the second hour. You have to find it. So you can go on my Twitter and you can find his Twitter. We just teased him joining the show. He's got videos from the corner of the court. So his perspective on press row was on the corner of the court for Gonzaga and UCLA. And he takes videos of these shots going down and just the noise, the cacophony of sound that comes down in T-Mobile Arena is really incredible. So you can check out that conversation on our podcast. And I would encourage you to find his social so you can see those firsthand videos. Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hawkins will throw it in. Nuba makes the catch off the Campbell. Puts it up at the buzzer. No! And Gonzaga wins! The Gonzaga Bulldogs are elite again! Gonzaga comes back from 13 down. They beat UCLA 79-76, and the Gonzaga Bulldogs on to the Elite Eight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to Mark Few, but thank you to the Gonzaga Bulldogs and the UCLA Bruins for what was an epic battle in Las Vegas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Timmy, Drew, ends up with 36 points, and early on, he was really the only thing keeping the Zags afloat.
We just got hit in the mouth, and we just had to battle and fight, and, in the first half, I just the ball happened to be bouncing friendly to me, so I felt like I was hot, so I just wanted to keep shooting, and then in the second half, everyone, like Malachi really stepped up, Julian stepped up, Tom was playing huge defense, like we just rallied, and I think that's just kind of the story of this year. You know, the first 20, as much as we might not like it to be, is probably not our best 20. But we somehow, some way, we dig deep and we find a way to just come together and rally and keep fighting. And I think that's the beauty of this team is we may be down, but we're not out.
We got knocked back much like we did in the TCU game. I think that this time it was just because of their will and toughness. We were not guarding well, or for whatever reason, our ball screen coverage defense slipped back to where it was in November. And it has not been like that the last 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. So I just challenged him on that. And I said, we got 20 minutes. That's plenty of time. We're not going to, there's no 10 point play I'm going to draw up, but we just possession by possession, we got to play better defense. And we just had some really uncharacteristic kind of bonehead turnovers in the first half too. Air dribbles. And I think we lost like three bouncing it and traveling and doing all kinds of stuff. So challenged him on that regard to start taking care of the ball. And you know, you've been with us all year. I mean, this is such a resilient crew, man. They just find a way to win. It's probably not as aesthetically pleasing as some of the other teams we've had up there, but, I mean, man, is it effective.
Mark Few, and before that, Drew Timmy. For whatever reason, this is Gonzaga's MO. I mean, this sometimes happens with teams, even successful teams, where the second half is the surge, and they – because they're a team with so much experience, it felt like a floodlight. All that experience in the second half, that's what it felt like to me, what I tweeted. They can, in fact, flip on the switch of that floodlight, even against a team as good as UCLA, and they can find a groove. You hear Drew Timmy mention Malachi Smith, our guy, of course. We had him after the selection show last week, and he had a dozen points in the second half. And his story is awesome. Not that different than those that you'll hear around college basketball now because of the transfer portal. But last year, he was the star player on Chattanooga's squad that went to the NCAA tournament. They were a mid-major, of course. They'd won the Southern Conference tournament actually on a buzzer beater. But this was his choice. He wanted to play for a major school, a blue blood that had a chance to win a title. And so he comes off the bench and he struggled in the first half, but in the second half played some really solid defense and had a dozen points and also part of them turning it around.
Going into every game feeling like we got something to prove, and just going out there with the mentality like, you know, we got nothing to lose. Let's go out swinging. And just have a chip on our shoulder and just, you know, just play for each other. And that's what I would say.
I would love to give you the UCLA perspective, but Mick Cronin was not in the mood to answer questions. And so he was asked a bunch of things, and he just came up with kind of some salty, short, in some cases cryptic answers. He was annoyed because for whatever reason it took over a half hour for UCLA to be introduced at the post-game press conference, not exactly sure what happened, but about the second half scoring drought where they go 12 plus minutes without a field goal.
A lot of open shots, but didn't go down. There's no hindsight. Wide open shots. And multiple times we got fouled, no call. Dave and Tiger didn't make a basket in the second half.
Whoops.
They had good looks. And Jaime got murdered on about four layups.
I'd say we ran some really good sets to go at what we thought was, you know, we could take advantage of. And we got some really good looks, and we just weren't able to knock them in. So I would say that our drought was just due to us getting good shots and not making them.
Yeah, it's not like Gonzaga's defense all of a sudden was so unbelievable that UCLA couldn't get off a shot. No, they just weren't hitting shots. And so then Gonzaga was able to get a ton of extra rebounds, and they ended up doubling up UCLA on the boards, 50 to 26. It was a landslide, really. But all of that, and still UCLA had the lead in the final seconds before the big triple by Julian Strother, the Vegas native. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, it'll be UConn and Gonzaga. We're talking about some elite college basketball schools for the Las Vegas regional. So the championship I guess that's the West regional. I forgot my bracket. So I was so mad. I get all the way to work and I know there's brackets online, but I have been filling out a bracket meticulously with all of the winners, and I end up leaving the bracket on my dining room table, which is decidedly unhelpful in case you are wondering. So I was kind of ticked about that just because I have it all organized and it just goes against my anal retentive personality that I have it all organized and I left it on that dining room table. So anyway, Jay, you're just looking at me like this never happens to you because
I don't understand.
Care. All right.
Feel naked out there without that.
Without the bracket?
Without the bracket.
Feel naked without your bracket? All right, let's see. Coming up, we will hear from both Jerome Tang and Tom Izzo. Michigan State run is over, but Marquise Noel with an incredible game, a career game for him. Not to mention it's on the Madison Square Garden stage where he's so familiar. Right? I mean, this is, for New York kids, this absolutely is the goal and is the mecca. And then Florida Atlantic, the Owls. By the way, we received a tweet that indicates that we're driving at least one dog nuts with our with our owls hooting. Hey, stop it. Lennard's dog is going crazy right now. Lennard says, no more owl sounds, please. I'm in a truck with my dog and it's freaking him out. He's going window to window looking for the owl. You know, Penny can't hear, so she wouldn't be doing that. But we're not sorry.
Yeah.
See? See? I had it right. It just comes out rather awkwardly. But that's really the theme of the show. Everything I say is coming out rather awkwardly. I mean, to be fair, I earlier called them the Howls. They should revoke my talking license. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Don't give the boss any bright ideas. Not that he listens.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Walker jumps it out to Hauser. Goes right wing to Hall. 8 seconds. Out to Walker. Walker tries to force one up. It's stripped by Noel, who gets the basketball first. Noel drives in, lays it up, and it goes in at the buzzer. And Kansas State has advanced to the Elite Eight. Noel, who has been the shining star tonight, stripped Walker, came up with the basketball, laid it in right before the buzzer. 98-93, Kansas State defeats Michigan State in a game for the ages.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It definitely was that Gary Cohen taking a break from baseball, calling the games on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Marquise Noel, the star of the show, he was running the show, an NCAA tournament record for a single game with 19 assists to go along with 20 points when he had that late layup and five steals, the fifth of which came just seconds before that final layup to seal the victory against Michigan State. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was an opportunity for the Harlem native who stands all of 5'8". Apparently, he got a tweet from Spud Webb. It's a shorter NBA player who, of course, had great success and also drew a lot of attention for his dunks. And so that's kind of cool when you can attract the attention of someone who has such notoriety despite his height. And so, yes, for Marquise Noel, he shined the brightest on the biggest stage.
This is probably my career high in assists, you know, ever. I had a couple games of 14, a couple games of 17 back in high school. But, you know, this one was special in front of my hometown, in front of, you know, the city, you know, that loves me. I can't even put into words, you know, how blessed and grateful I am.
It's a huge accomplishment. I mean, this thing is hard, right? It's hard to do. And so, man, when it happens, you just have to really embrace it and enjoy it and not, like, take a moment, you know? We got to take a moment and just really soak this thing in before we move on to the next thing. Now, next thing is really huge, whoever we have to play. And, you know, but we've kind of just taken everything 1-0 every day and every aspect of the day. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity.
That's Jerome Tang of Kansas State, who has made a great impression on the program even in this first year. There were a lot of guys who contributed, so I don't want to make it seem like it was only Marquise Noel. Ish Masood hit a monster three with 15 seconds to go that gave Kansas State that three-point lead. So the steal then by Noel comes after the three-point lead, the very next possession, but it was Masood who hit four huge triples off the bench and had 15 points and also was playing at home at MSG.
This is my first time playing in the Garden. And, you know, it's surreal. I first want to just say, you know, happy Ramadan to all the Muslims out there that are fasting. And I wish for nothing but blessings the rest of the month. And, you know, it's really just credit to God, credit to my teammates. I mean, they got the belief in me to find me and get me shots. And all I had to do was knock it down. It's surreal. I don't think it hit me yet. But, you know, it's just praise to God, praise to my teammates, praise to my coaching staff. I'm just blessed.
The thrill of victory for Kansas State, but the agony of defeat for Michigan State. And honestly, if you look at the final score, you would never expect that the Spartans were involved. I know it went into overtime, but their defense was not what you generally see from a Michigan State team. And so, yeah, they scored a lot of points too. But in this particular case, the Wildcats were able to get a lot done on offense and the number of easy buckets. So that stood out to me, not just the alley-oop in the late stages, but the number of times that Noel was able to set up his teammates for layups. That was stark against Michigan State.
They shot 55%, but I think they had, including the layup at the end, I think they had about six layups off of turnovers. They shot 45 from the three, and we thought they made every shot. We shot 52. They shot 68 from the line. We shot 82. We out-rebounded them by seven. You know, we did enough things, too, that we played pretty damn good and should be proud of that. Whenever you lose, you're never proud of anything. And when you have some mistakes that were kind of effort-related, not getting back and things, it's gonna be hard to watch the film. But I was as proud of this team as many teams I've had that have gone far and lost, because the way this team, the way they grew the last couple of weeks, it was fun to see happen.
And it's worth thinking about Tom Izzo and a few weeks ago and how he stood in front of a memorial service and how he attended funerals after the shooting on campus there in East Lansing, and that he assumed that role as the voice and the face. A face with tears streaming down his cheeks, and a face and a voice that's so recognizable that he understood that for Michigan State basketball, for Michigan State as a campus to move forward, he would have to be front and center. And so it weighs on him, and certainly it was a season unlike what many of them expected. He's one of the great leaders and one of the great ambassadors in college basketball. He's easy to root for. He's more than just a coach. He's also a father figure to a lot of these guys, but really invests and cares about them. And you could tell just by the number of alum that were there right behind the bench for Michigan State and how many of them continue to be connected to Tom Izzo and the program. A.J. Hoggard with a career-high 25 points, and he's a big reason why they even got to push Kansas State into OT.
When you come to Michigan State, you're supposed to do things like this.
I'm just so happy I could deal with this group of guys. It's definitely hope around the corner, but just right now, it just stings to even think about the future.
Definitely does. And yet, how often do we hear those stories of, hey, we were smacked in the face, we were devastated, we were disappointed, we're going to use that. We're going to use that as a springboard, as motivation for next season. I mean, we just told you about the UConn story, knocked out in the first round last year, and now here they are in the Elite Eight. So the opponent for Kansas State, the unlikely Florida Atlantic Owls, don't do it, Jay. The Owls had only made two NCAA tournaments in their 30 years as a member of Division I, and this is just the first time they've ever been able to win games. And now here they are, three in a row, and they're one step away from the Final Four. That's pretty incredible.
Left wing Weatherspoon, head fake, goes around his man, kicks it out to Martin. He'll try the three. It's good! Elijah Martin with a tray. He's got nine, and FAU leads by seven. 48-41 with 7:20 to go, and Rick Barnes needs a timeout.
Here's Boyd out near center court, guarded by Meshack. Comes to his left all the way to the bucket, lays it up with the left hand and in. Nick Boyd now with 10, and FAU back up by 10. Vescovi gets by him, kicks it out to James. He'll try a three. It's good. Big shot, Josiah Jordan James. His first points of the second half to get Tennessee within five.
If you didn't know this about the Tennessee Volunteers under Rick Barnes, they are the top rated. There's a particular rating that measures the various defensive statistics and defensive elements. They are the top rated defensive team in the NCAA. And early on, they were successful in keeping Florida Atlantic's offense from finding any type of a rhythm and groove. But after a couple of threes, so back-to-back threes, it opened up the court and opened up the offense for the Owls. And in a second half surge where they took the lead and then were able to protect it, they were dealing then from a position of strength. Michael Forrest had 8 points in that run.
We got a group of guys that no matter what night it is, somebody's going to step up and make the big plays. So everybody stays together through the ups and downs. So that's really what separates us. All the work that everybody puts in, all the hours and hard work that everyone puts into it, it can be anybody's night. So everybody just stays together all the time.
It sounds just right, man. We where we're supposed to be. We're going to keep moving, keep working. We're going to stay humble and hungry. I mean, y'all can't count us out no more, man. We here to stay, and we're going to keep fighting no matter who we line up against, who we play. I got a group of brothers that play together, and I feel like there's nobody in the country that loves each other like we do and works like us. So we're going to keep making statements.
Meanwhile, for Tennessee, they shoot abysmally from downtown, so only 6 of 23 from beyond the arc. And there was this aspect of settling. Give Florida Atlantic credit because once they grabbed the momentum, they were able to use that energy on both ends of the court. But Tennessee, maybe they knocked down a couple of these threes and this looks different. It's just that I felt like they were settling for shots. They go 6 of 23 from downtown and didn't force the issue. And I wanted them to try something different. It just got so stale there in the second half.
When they started scoring, our offense wasn't very good. And we gave up too many drives. And then along with that, offensive rebounds where we let them get downhill. And a couple situations where those we did a better job in the second half staying down on shot fakes early in the first half. That's why we were getting into so much rotation because we were leaving our feet. Went under a few ball screens. But I thought offensively and we didn't – we needed to continue to put pressure on them at the rim, whether it was throwing it inside or whether it was driving the ball, and we didn't do enough of that.
First of all, they definitely made shots. They made the shots they had to make. Like Coach said, they got big offensive rebounds. They ran a couple actions that they're really good basketball actions. They knocked them down, and I think the biggest thing was offensive rebound for them.
Yeah, a dozen offensive rebounds for Florida Atlantic. We're not talking about a team that has a size or bulk advantage. Nah, that's the issue with a lot of mid-majors is they don't match up well against Power 5 teams. Why? Because they don't have the same size. They don't have the same length. They don't have the same reach. But in this case, it was about heart. It was about effort. And rebounding is an art form. Sometimes it's just about who gets position, regardless of how big the guy is that you're attempting to box out. So congratulations to the Owls of Florida Atlantic. Only their first three NCAA tournament wins, so they're all right in a row. And now they will get to take on Kansas State for a spot in the Final Four. That's pretty sweet. Speaking of Sweet 16, four more games coming up from Kansas City and Louisville later on today. And this includes the two top seeds that are still remaining, Alabama and Houston. And so those are your first two games, the top seeds facing five seeds in both cases. We've also got Princeton coming up a little bit later on, the South region. That's in Louisville. And if you missed my conversation with Zach Martini, a junior Tiger, they're calm, they're confident, they are poised, and they really do believe that they can beat any team in the nation. They proved it against Arizona. They had no trouble with Missouri. Now they take on a Creighton team that is also shooting the ball extremely well. So, a lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend. The Women's Sweet 16 gets underway later on today, and so they're kind of straddled. But plenty of basketball if you're into the NIT or the WNIT, that's also taking place. If you missed it, we did hit a little bit of football and baseball earlier, but I love it. It's a select few days per year when football takes a back seat, but it's one of those times in March Madness. We did actually put together a video, so this is kind of based on the question we threw out earlier in the week. We did our latest YouTube video as the next episode in our Stairway to Seven series, and we walked up the steps. Most compelling postseasons in sports. Where does March Madness fall in? And why isn't the NBA on any of our seven steps? So anyway, you can check that out on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I mean, if you're looking for some weekend entertainment, I jump out of an airplane in a video on our YouTube channel, and I survive. Here I am. Also, you can find the latest penny pick because I can't stop taking pictures of my dog either on Facebook or on Twitter. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!